investing in him. Let them, baby, sing to me. We understand that there will be times of personal difficulties. That's what I learned. There will be times. Now, let me say this, because, see, some of you think that I'm difficult against you. No, it's not. When I confront you, I'm trying to help you. That's all I'm doing. My whole modus operandi is to help you understand life. Now, if you want to stay in difficult times, you can't do that around me, because I don't want to be around your stupidity and difficulty when you crash. So I'm saying, since you're not going to be up and up, leave me, because I'm telling you how to resolve life. Jesus was the same kind of a man. Difficult times will always come in honor to test or to qualify our Christianity. Whatever your difficulty is right now, it's coming to test what kind of a saint you are. I don't care, you get fired, so what? God's testing you. Tires blowing and freeway, you ain't got no credit card. God's testing you. Difficult times comes to test the quality of your Christian character. Wife acting all crazy, they act stupid. The Lord is trying you. No, I know you don't believe me yet. I know you don't believe me. Difficult times, in most cases, comes by way of people who are not spiritually inclined. This happened to Christ. Scribes and Pharisees were not spiritually in tune. Whenever you got some folk that ain't into the book and don't know nothing, they're going to be the ones, even in church, that's going to bring you the most difficult times. And I just say, you need to shut up now. You need to shut up. You need to close your mouth. You need to close your mouth, because your mouth is going off and your brain ain't engaged. Engage that brain. You causing difficulty. Are you just trying to control the people? Well, why don't you take control of the people? You better look at Jesus. That's when his difficult time came. Difficulties spring up in many cases in order to bring defeat when peace needs to prevail. Difficulty comes. Now, let's talk about me, because I like talking about me as a preacher. When I'm doing something and you think I'm bringing destruction, I'm trying to bring peace. Difficult times come when you interfere with the peacemaker. Shut up if you don't know what you're doing. Trust me, well, every time I open up my mouth, I know what's happening. And like I said, I will cause some difficulty to bring reality in play. If not, I'm a false shepherd. I'm a false shepherd, and you can get a bootleg. Preacher told me, well, you know, the chairman of this deacon board is the only one that brings the preacher in. And when they were looking for a preacher, the chairman said, we don't want him teaching no lessons here. We don't want him starting no classes. We just want him to preach to us on Sunday morning and bring prayer meeting on Wednesday. No teaching at all. And we'll give him the $500 a week. If he does anything more than that, we'll run him out of here. I wish I'd go to church like that, because I'd run him out. He'd be gone. I'd give the people so much Bible, and I said, if you don't even come here cracking this, please. See, that's bringing difficulty. And that's what the man of God would do. Difficult times, my friends, are coming. Let's look at verse 6b. In your text, you got to write in your Bible, in order that they may have grounds for accusing him. At times, difficulties come in order that we might fall under acquittal. Difficulties come in a church when somebody is, listen, you see, you're trying to acquit somebody, but somebody else is trying to accuse somebody. A lot of people don't need to be acquitted. Y'all read me? Some people need some hard, cold facts in their lives, because their buddies ain't going to tell them the truth. The brothers in the church going to play up to their debauchery. And then when it comes to me, I'm going to say, hey, let's take care of this quick. Give me the blade. Wham! Oh, his head is still on his head. No, everything is disconnected. They haven't moved yet. Bam! And that sucker fall back, and I said, now do you understand? Now that is what Christ does here in the text. He may not do it in the style that I do it, but so help me, Jesus, if he was living in the 20th century and walking in many of these things called themselves churches, he would open up his mouth and all of our heads would burst open. Somebody needs to say amen. Somebody just, man, Lord, you know, because see, some of you know what you're thinking right now. Some of you in your pew right now cannot stand me. Good. I am a called pastor, because if all of you loved me, If all of you love me when I'm saying, then I'm a false preacher, and you're all going to hell. But since you can't stand me during this moment, fine. He called me to bring difficulty in your life. Verse 6b says something else. They come when one is constantly living in the fast lane for the master. When you're living for Jesus, difficult times are going to come your way because you're living the right way. When you're not living for Christ, don't worry about difficult times. You're already working for the devil anyhow. But when you're living in the fast lane, living for Jesus, difficult times are going to come. Also, they may come in the form of caution, concern, or conformity. In other words, difficult times. Now, look, I'm going to caution you. You better be careful, preacher. You're talking about your money now. You know them folk control your money. I got a question. Who's controlling their money? If any saint tries to mess with my money, God's going to mess with your job, your future, everything. So you better give the true prophet his pay. And please don't try to threaten him by taking his money, because you're going to be looking for a life in intensive care. Oh, I know you don't believe me yet, but have I ever been wrong in this church? No. And I ain't going to start being wrong in this church because I love God too much and ain't too much concern about a heathen. There it is. Now, you know, Jesus wasn't like that. You better read the book of Revelation when he comes and in and open up this mouth in that last battle, man. Man, you talking about blood flowing? Oh, you got the wrong Jesus in mind here. I got one that's going to be on the plains of Armageddon or something, and he's just going to speak the word, and bodies are going to start bursting up, and all them heathens are going to go to hell. And he's going to have on a red robe dipped in blood, saying, now who do you say that I am? But I know what you would say. You would say, you ain't Jesus. And I said, I ain't trying to be. I'm the pastor. And if I don't speak the way he speaks, difficult times are coming in my life. And let me say this. Members do not cause me difficulties. They are a joy for me to interact with all the time. I don't never get mad at no member and hate them. No, I discipline them. That's my job. Let me give you something else in this verse 6b. I see it right here. Whatever form difficulty or difficult times cause will cause a reaction on the behalf of the one who is called to go through them. I see that in verse 6b. It says that they might have grounds of accusing him. The difficulty came to bring Jesus and to put him in the straits. See? And so when it comes, that's why it's coming to you. Let's move on down to point number two. The difficult time indeed caused our Lord to respond, because you may say, what did he do? Well, let's keep reading. Look at verses 6c. It tells you how he responded. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. One might say, what a strange way to respond during difficult times, but you must never forget that you're reading the Holy Bible. See, when they came with this stuff for Jesus, he didn't open up his mouth and say anything. The difficult times made him, Lucy, get down on the ground. You know what difficult time does to most Christians? Puts them on the defense instead of in the posture for prayer. Difficult times come to the Christian. Instead of you getting in the posture for prayer, you're in the defense. Oh, I got to work this thing out. I got to figure this thing out. No, no, no. Get down. They came to Jesus in the midst of his teaching, and the first thing that the man did was got down and started scribbling something on the ground. And thank God we don't know what he's scribbling. You can hypothesize all you want. He wasn't writing my name for the 21st century. No. Some people think he was writing down the Pharisee's name that slept with the woman. Some people think he wrote down the addresses of the people that had the woman. I don't know what he wrote. Jesus is not that kind of a clown. I don't think he'd do that. He'd tell them to their face. So let's see how this man responds. What of this book and these strange mannerisms anyhow? It is extraordinary. It is an extraordinary treatise, divinely inspired for an extraordinary people. I see Jesus going down, and if you're a believer, you're supposed to say, what's that all about? You're not just to see him physically going down. You're supposed to say, why didn't Jesus say something? But you see, you don't think like Christians. You think like reactionary sinners. Oh, they came, and they, what's Jesus going to say? First thing he did was got down. In other words, I am placing my head in a position for you to knock my brains out, to kick me in the face. That's what you really want to do. Your question is immaterial. This is my difficulty, and I'm submitting myself to it. When difficulty comes in your way, do you submit to it, or do you try to wiggle out of it? When difficulty confronts you eyeball to eyeball, are you trying to defend yourself? Or say, you know what, you got a point. I never looked at it from that vantage point. Because my friends, the minute you try to defend yourself, my Lord, if you saved it all, it's just going to put more difficulty on you. I told you folks 6 weeks ago, easy times is over when Romans was finished. My mannerisms may appear to be strange as Jesus's does, but as difficult times came on him, I'm going to bring them on you. Because I'm trying to perfect you as saints in a body that's about something for Jesus. If you want traditional religion where people him and high and say one thing on this side of the door and the other thing on that side of the door, I advise you to leave here. You will be very uncomfortable with my leadership. It must be biblical. It will be confrontational. Some of you know of known sin, and you won't admit it. You won't even talk about it. You rationalize it, and you will not posture yourself down. My friends, let me share something else. It's difficult antidotes. The Bible's difficult antidotes can only be understood by tried hearts who will accept the Bible's simple claims. I see Jesus going down. You don't understand it. God is trying to say, you're not supposed to understand it. Are you willing to put yourself in a posture of taking the heat? The difficulty in our society is that the answer is no. Everything's going well with me. Keep living. Keep living. Things are going to change, Christians. What do we note concerning the Lord's reaction? I would say that it appears that Jesus was ignoring the difficulty. It appears that he was ignoring the difficulty. Now, you got to ask yourself this question. What lessons do you learn from Christ? What do you say? And Jesus just ignores them. I would also say that the master did not panic while under attack. How about you? When difficulty comes in your life, that job is gone, that husband or wife is gone, that child is acting crazy, getting thrown in. What do? Do you panic? I would also say that the Savior was in constant, he was in an I'm in control mood here. He didn't let the difficulty take control of his circumstances. He was in control. Some of you, when you're in difficult straits, first thing that you do is you lose control of your life. Oh, I'll pick up Jesus Sunday. Sorry, but the master don't want you even around him, fool, on Monday or nothing. You're not saved. You don't put Christ down and act like a fool and then pick him up when you're ready. You don't do that. I also see something else here. The difficulty, while serious to many in the crowd, didn't do anything to jar or to judge or to jettison the master's answer. See, you can be in a crowd of people and a so-called difficulty takes place and they freaking. And you're just going to be there saying, y'all need to shut up. Because I got this thing worked out already. And I must say, I've experienced that within the past 24 hours. Jesus didn't do none of that. When you become a Christian, you don't do that. You don't jettison truth. You want more of it. How do you respond under difficulty? And so, man, it ain't about this woman in this text. It's not about the woman. She was caught well nigh in adultery. When you read the Bible, let's stop trying to pick on other folk. I want you to pick on how you're going to deal with difficulty in your lives. See, if you think that the Bible, that was just written to tell women to stop committing adultery, well, I'm sorry, that ain't going to never stop. As long as you got a human being, somebody's going to get lonely and they're going to need somebody. All right? And maybe if the church will become more loving and more compassionate and more concerned, there will be less of that loneliness. But I'll tell you why people go out and do that. It's because they can't get a gentle hug from you. Your attitude's all up on your behind and shoulders and everything else. And then when you come to people, you know, you all out of your mind. And somebody got to go out and lie with somebody that's at least acting like they love them and come to church and there ain't nothing but hypocrisy all around me. See, you, no, they ain't going to listen. They ain't going to listen. Oh, no, I don't think you should love like that. They need a wife. They don't need no wife. They need you, fool. You don't understand Jesus at all. Master went down. He said, man, look at this. Dealing with difficulty. Preacher, you need to hurry up because you're difficult. I know it. But I said, that's why I'm doing this. Jesus stoops down and literally looks away from the difficulty. He literally looks away from the mess. I cannot read the master's mind, but I would say, what are these people doing? Come here, talking about this woman's private life, and I'm trying to talk to them about eternal life. Here they come talking about this woman's private experience, but need of me, and I'm trying to give them eternal life. Now tell me if that's not what they do in church. Then let me tell you, you see the way she look at him? You know how she is. You dumb fool. If the woman is looking like that, she needs you to befriend her. Not to try to figure out her hormonal problem. And if some of you want to learn about that, Pastor Greg is going to be teaching you about your hormonal problems Tuesday. I dare some of you women to come out. You may learn something about life. But no, you're not going to come out because you don't want to talk about life. You want to talk about fantasy land. And that's why your lives aren't getting better. It also appears that the Lord had heavenly solutions in that he instantly began to communicate to the one causing the difficulty by writing something. I love the way he does that in this verse. Man, that's beautiful when you see that. Jesus stoops down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Oh, I'm so glad that John didn't say with his right hand or his left hand, because those of you that are right-handed would say, see, I'm right-handed like Jesus, so whatever I write is law. So glad God gave this man wisdom not to do that because of human nature. Well, see, he wrote with his left hand, and John is left-handed. Since John wrote the book, and Pastor John is left-handed, he's trying to I don't know what you're doing in the room. You cannot follow biblical exegesis. I don't know what your problem is. It is severe. What do we notice concerning the Lord's reaction? While under the severest difficulty, he stays calm while he reflects upon the facts. Y'all better see that. He's challenged and he's calm. And he's reflective. Why are these people saying this? This has nothing to do with the issue. These people are trying to say, this has nothing to do with reality. First thing that we do is go off. Most of the time I go off because I don't like people disrespecting me. As the leader of this worship community, when I say shut up, I mean shut up. I'm not asking, I'm telling. But I know that we live in a subjective society where you don't read me very well. When I say shut up so that I can reflect upon what I know to be true. I know why you won't shut up. You don't want truth to be mentioned. So you must challenge me. And I'm saying, oh, ain't this a trip? Is this the way life is? Not in the real world. You have to ask your question, what do you think Jesus was teaching the people? Could it have been a correlation to the coming difficulty? See, whatever he was doing, he was teaching the people something. His every move was to teach them something, people. When difficult times come, it is to teach you something. I'm preaching like this to you because you need to get into it. Listen, I'm telling you, we are living in an economy that has failed. Not is failing. Has failed. Has failed. You've got to do things differently now to survive in this state. Aircraft is gone. Industries are shutting down right and left. You have got to know how to deal with the difficulty that's confronting you, and you can see the model in Jesus' life. It's right here. Look at verse 7a. Verse 7a says, but when they persisted in asking him, our Savior, when he stoops down, obviously appears to give the assailants more opportunity to bring a charge. Because of the way, in other words, you know what I'm saying? Bring a charge on me.
I'm open for that. Do it. Do it to satisfy you. And then when you do it, God will do something to you. And I'll come to visit you. How are you? I'll never forget my grandmother years ago. Fussing with the pastor of this church. Fussing. How I know I was 11 years old living in a house. Her and my aunt would get home Sunday night and run Jake down like a dog. Me and my brothers would laugh.
Listen.
I wasn't saved.
Listen to Nanny.
Some of you know her. She was raising us because my father, who is now gone, was irresponsible and dumped us on them. She would not stop. God struck her with a stroke. Bedridden. The pastor came, tears flowed from her eyes, and he said, No, baby. Don't say nothing. I understand, and God has forgiven you too. I learned at 11 years old, there's something about that man and what he said that caused this condition. And now what he does is he makes me the pastor agate of the same church. What a paradox. So that shows that God can use anything. Because I'm in another room laughing. And then what he does, oh, you laughed, huh? Now I'm going to make you the pastor. Now I'm going to put them on the bed and you come and visit them while they tear up. And I will. I said, oh, no. Leave that alone. You didn't understand. Oh, but yes, you were in the room when I preached John 8, weren't you? You do understand. Now you deal with your difficulty. And some of you know that when Nanny survived and they built this room, they had just put up the wood frame and she danced on it and said, look at what great things, because God accepted her cry of forgiveness. And she died a good sister in this church. Now, what if she had kicked her heels up and went crazy? I would say in hell with my own grandmother lifted up her own eyes. See, I just say it because I can deal with difficulty. Our Savior appears to give the assailants time to bring a charge. While under difficulty, don't be quick to deliver yourself. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Whatever difficulty you get in, don't be quick to try to get yourself out of a mess. Jesus said, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. In other words, in Matthew 6 and 8, Jesus says, don't be like the world to try to deliver yourself. God knows what you need. You got a job? Tell God, I need a job, Lord. Husband left you, wife left you, Lord, tell him. They left me, Lord, I'm lonely, I need you, Lord. He'll answer. Stay in that same chapter, look at verse 32. Marvelous verse. Jesus says, for all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. When difficult times come, he knows that you have need of a job, of money, of a home, of food, of clothing. He knows that you have need of all those things. He knows it. Do you believe him? Trust him. But I'm going to tell you, when you're living in sin and lying to you and everybody else, you're going to be living in a whirlpool of difficulty. I see something else here. When it's raining on you, my friends, even though you must do something, wait to choose to do the right thing. Go to the book of James now. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. When it's raining on you and you are panicking, then wait to do the right thing. Look at James chapter 1, verses 2. Consider it all what? Joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. In other words, when your difficulty comes, you're supposed to say, I'm happy. And then it says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That's why most of you can't take the next test. You ain't happy about the one you're going through. I'm going to go back to 1992 when Lucy was in intensive care. And some of you idiots were thinking, what are you doing here preaching? I consider it a joy to preach while my wife is having open heart surgery. It wouldn't that have been a joy for me to be at her bedside? I'm no doctor. I'm a preacher. First test to come up in your life. I don't consider joy going to no church listening to that raving lunatic. Keep reading. Keep reading. And let endurance have its perfect result. that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. You ain't got something now? You lacking in something now? Are you happy about your trial? No. Suffer it. Then it says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, you know, you aren't going to ask God for wisdom because you're too busy trying to get what somebody else got. And God does not want you to have that. There is something that Jesus knew about life circumstances that we need to understand. Go back to the book of Matthew, look at chapter 16, verse 1. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1. Jesus knew that things ain't about to change. Things are not going to change. Look who confronts him. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing him, asked him to show him a sign from heaven. Jesus said, look, these boys ain't going to never change. I got some news for you, church. Some of them are going to end up in hell trying to get their way. And some of them are with us in God's house. That's unfortunate. And I know who they are. And that's all right. I know this is difficult. Oh, you think this is? Go to Matthew 22:35. Man, isn't that great? I just flipped right to it. Matthew 22:35. Listen to what it says. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. Not only are you going to get tests from religious folk in church, you're going to get tests from secular people. Jesus did. A lawyer tested him. Well, let me ask him something. I have a law degree. Oh, you ain't satisfied with that? Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 13. It's all throughout the Bible. I'm going to give it to you. Luke chapter 4, 13. If you're not turning, at least write it down. Luke 4, 13 says, and when the devil had finished even every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Here I see that Jesus knew that he is God, and even the devil knew it, and the devil kept testing him and kept coming back. Let me say this. You got some folk in the church that's acting like devils? Beware of this, my dear Christian brothers. They're coming back. They're coming. Jesus had them come back on him. They're coming back. They are not happy unless they cause in hell. It's in their nature. John 8:44 said, you have your father the devil. And he was alive from jump, and you got his nature, fool. And that's why I'm laughing, because it tickles me. I'm saying, man, everything this Bible said is coming true. But you know why it makes some of us angry? You don't read it, nor do you believe it. You believe in preacher mess. I never knew that was there. Read it! You said, what you mean you never knew it was there? Read the book! And then put yourself as a living illustration. Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do with them. Nothing. Let the devil do something with them. Luke chapter 11, verse 16. Go there with me. I'm going to show you something else. I'm loving this. Too much scripture, John. No, that's your problem. You don't know enough scripture. And others to test him. Not only the devil and the Pharisee and the Sadducee, and others to test him were demanding of him a sign from heaven. Jesus always was confronted by fools. Every day of his ministry, people tested him. Difficult times came to the master, and he dealt with it. Let me move on down to point number 3. What does the Lord do in light of his personal difficulty? What does he do in light of all of this trauma coming on him? You have to look at verse 7b. Verse 7b of John chapter 8. For it says, he straightened up. He was down, now he straightens up. It's what he does. The Lord continues to teach us by distinct body communication. What did he do? When the time was right, he stood up to face the difficulty head on. Now, I'm going to say it again. You notice that he didn't face it when he first went down? That wasn't the time. He gave time of reflection in the person's lives that was bringing the difficulty. He went down. That's why sometimes when I call you for a conference, come to me. I'm giving you time and conference to deal with the difficulty. But you know what happens? You're not going to do like Jesus did. You ain't going to reflect on nothing. You need time to come down and then stand up and speak. But you won't do it because your lives are all disgruntled and going in a different direction, and you have no control over it. God does, and he's given me insight as pastor. That's why you follow your pastor. You don't follow him because he's going to promise you heaven. You follow him because he's looking over your souls. He gives watch over your souls. And he does that with joy and not with sorrow. But when you cop an attitude, trust me, my friends, you're on your way into difficult times. I see that in the text. Unless one of you or 800 of you think that I'm putting this together on somebody, you're wrong. This is for me. This is for me primarily. I take my own preaching first. So since I take it, I can give it. And if I couldn't give it in this power, sure enough, you know I didn't take it. I'm just here to take your money, and it's not about that, because I don't play no funny like that. I don't do that. When the time was right, he stood face to face with the difficulty. He knew that he had to face his adversaries and that he had to do it with power and conviction, which was determined by his works. He could not face the adversary just by having his opinion. So he goes down and he reflects and he writes. And he says, I'm going to just chill out here. And since I'm God and they don't accept it yet, I'll let them come to something. And then he begins to react to it. And we see that in verse 7c. And he stood up and he said to them, he who is without sin amongst you, let him be first to throw stones at this woman. Now, what wisdom? We see the Lord speaking to the very issue of the difficulty itself. The difficulty was not the woman. He's speaking to the men that brought the difficulty in his life. He says, oh, now, I want you men to tell me a little bit about you. We don't take the focus off the poor woman. I want to talk about you. You all that want to see her cry, Jesus says, no. Now let's have a little talk with me and you. Jesus is brilliant. He knew human because he created us. And he knew that in our infantile brains, including mine, when I'm not operating in the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that I respond just like this. And that's why I say, when you talk to me, be careful, because I'm trying to groove in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's see how we address these people. There is no compromise in the face of the difficulty. He didn't patronize them. Well, I know you would never think that. No, he didn't say that. He says, I know y'all go to church and all that, so you're supposed to be... No, he didn't say that. There was also no fear in the face of tremendous difficulty. I got to ask you, where's your courage at, church? Why can't the church respond like this? You know why? No truth, no courage, no insight. You depend upon men like me to do it, and then when I do it, then your brain starts going a little fried. Wait a minute, what is he doing here? Is he wrecking the show? No. I'm confronting difficulty. That's all Jesus did. Look at verse 7d. You that are without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. In other words, his answer instantly demanded that the difficulty come to an end. He said, we ain't going to talk about it. Let's bring this thing to the quick. Since you got your mind made up already, do what you intend to do. See, we want too much time to dialogue. Now you see the way I am? I come to the quick. No. Isn't it this way with you? Shut up! Isn't it this way with you? Because that's the way Jesus deals with difficulty. And the reason, you know, the problem with us, why can't we grow and get another building? Why can't we get money in the front? Because you aren't doing what God wants you to do. He wants you to be an example of what he is. Oh, no, we can't do that. Well, you know, and I'm saying, Lord, you want me to be the pastor of this? Folk that don't know what to do? So the Lord said, show them what I do. And talk to them, because I'm going to bring difficulty on this whole society. And the ones that do what I do will get out of the difficulty. That's what the Bible is about, friends. He says, the one that believe me and do what I tell him to do, I will lift the difficulty. The ones that don't, I will apply more pressure. See, and that's what you're taking the table for. You're not taking that because you're going to heaven. You're taking that because you're saying, Lord, bring more difficulty. It demanded an end. What did his answer demand of the difficulty? He challenged everyone and everything to seek to become wiser than God. In other words, oh, you're wiser than me, aren't you? So you judge. Now, you got to sit in your pew and you better feel this tension. Some of you think that you're wiser than God. You got it figured out, don't you? Well, let me say this. I ain't got nothing figured out. The reason that it sounds like I do is because I keep my nose in this. I'm trying to figure out how the master does it. And if you get angry at me, it's because you don't spend enough time in this. Then you're going to start calling me names. I'm not that. I spend time in this. But you're spending time in. But I'm not going to fuss with you no more. I'm just going to say, Lord, bring them into destruction. I mean, that's all I can ask for is destruction. Because no one else was. He knew that no one could withstand his words. Therefore, he demanded more wisdom than the difficulty could render up. He says, I'm God. That whatever they say ain't going to work. So he says, say it, and let's see if it works. And when I speak like that, you get mad at me. He wasn't praying Christ. He's God. You that ain't got no sins, you that know justice, you that know what life is, you make the decision. You better pray that God never asks you to do that, because some of you idiots would do it and destroy the person. And I'm telling you, that is what annoys me about most people. Making decisions in other folks' lives and ruin them, and I have no caution for that person anymore. I'm looking at them saying, what? See, but see, you want me to let bygones? No, I can't let bygones be nothing. I'm going to say, bye, be gone. Now, that's the way I am. But you make the wise judgment. And that's what Jesus is doing. He says, oh, you think you're smarter than me now? So you make the decision. You do it. Oh, man, Jesus knew how to deal with difficulties. He said, you just forget that woman in the text. She ain't here. Jesus is here speaking very clear this morning. He being God, knowing that he had the situation in full control. Now, if he doesn't have the enemies of your life in full control, I'm going to tell you, you're in deep trouble. And that's why I tell him, Lord, deal with folk that cause me difficulty. Because if John deals with him, he's going to do something wrong. So you know what he does? He tells me, I'll tell you how to deal with difficulty. Look at what I did. Oh, so that's the way it's done. Yes, my son. No other way. Now you understand what he wants you to do. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, ooh, this is beautiful. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. This is beautiful here because after dealing with the difficulty, he returns to the humble position of retreat. Man, he's beautiful. The Lord deals with him and says, you pray God. Pray God on me. And then he goes down. Man, that's Christ. And that's why I, listen, you know, when uppity people that want to be pastor, you know what I do? You want a pastor up like that? I ask them right up front. You want to do this? You want to wear the robe? You take the thing. Do it. And then I retreat and go down, and I know that the person can't do a thing because they don't know a thing. The example is right here. That's how I deal with difficulties, and that's how I survive. Because if there's life, there's no life outside of this text. I want to tell you Christians right now, you think you have power, you have nothing. And when your heart aches out for air to breathe, there's one name you're going to call on, and it's Jesus. And you're going to say, Jesus, help me, I'm nothing. And then he says, I may let your heart go. That's all right. He went into retreat, therefore identifying that he was awaiting the next difficulty. That's why he went down again. He says, now go on and do your thing. Because I'm posturing myself for you to knock my brains out now.
Do it. Do it.
The true man of God offers his life as a sacrifice. And he won't wiggle out of nothing, but he's going to put you in some tension every day of your life. He understood that the nature of difficulty is to contend with the absolutes. The nature of difficulty is contending with you are absolutely unemployed. You are absolutely have nobody to love you. You absolutely probably will never have that. You are absolutely miserable. And Christ is saying, say yes! No. Then he says, good luck. Because that's what Christianity is all about. And I used to feel, I must make an admission here, I used to feel guilty for my congregation. And I find myself trying to suffer for you, but you know what? That's all good and well. But when I see folk not dealing with their own difficulties, I got to know, I got to do something to let them know that I'm not the Christ, I'm John. And so I'm going to be happy, Queen Esther. I'm going to be very happy. Lucy and I went to dinner. Man, I went to a roller hockey game yesterday at the Forum. Sure did. Saw the only black man on the L.A. Blades playing. I knew him since he was down here, grew up. Man, I said, that was a great time. I wasn't sitting home praying for people that ain't going to do right. I'm going to stay home and pray for somebody that ain't going to do right in the first place. The Lord told me, man, enjoy your life. Tell them the God's honest truth. Enjoy your life. Go out to dinner with your wife. Whatever years I gave you left, enjoy it. You raised your daughters right. You treated your wife right. Now let them treat each other right. If they don't, let their whole lives go to hell. I'm going to send them there. You swiftly pursue sending them. Now you call me if you honestly need me. And if you don't honestly need me, call me and I'm going to laugh in your face. Because I'm going to say, what you doing? What are you doing? And then when you go against counseling that I've given you, I'm saying, all right. See, Jesus is dealing with the absolutes. We have thus far learned, have we learned anything from the Master? I hope so. Number 5, the reaction on the part of the difficulty in the face of biblical application of life. In other words, the difficulty now has to respond to what Jesus gives them, and we see that in verses 9a. It says, and when they heard it, in other words, regardless of the difficulty, righteous behavior always causes somebody to hear. Righteous behavior is going to make somebody hear. And if I, the leader, do not respond with righteous behavior, nobody's going to hear God, not from God. And when they heard it, he didn't just write on the ground and say, oh, that's your opinion. You got right to believe that, and I got right to believe this. I looked at this, I said, man, look at this, man. When they heard it, that's when John wrote, you see, and that comes from that Greek term, akouo, where we get our English term for acoustics. They heard it. In other words, they heard it in there, and then it went in their brain, and then it went in their hearts. Now, guess what happens here? It goes in here, and then it goes in the brain, and before it gets in the heart, it says, John. No, you lost it. When you hear it, what are you going to do? We live in a reactionary church. They haven't even heard it yet in their heart. They heard it in their ear. It went in their brain. Just went right out. Man, went right out. I ain't got to do that. You call yourself a what? It only works when you hear it. Regardless of the difficulty, righteous behavior causes someone to hear. Look at verse 9b, where it says, and when they heard it, they began to go out one by one, beginning with the older ones. Conviction drives any and all when the right kind of reaction to difficulty takes place in the life of the believer. The young and the old. Don't be telling me, oh, well, they too young. You know that. Hey, look, let me tell you something. 13-year-old girls are having babies. 13-year-old girls are having babies all around our society. The 16-year-old boys are making them pregnant. And some of these folk are living in our homes and they don't hear of righteous behavior in our homes. What we say is, I did it and you got to do it. Well, no, you're the devil incarnate. I already told you that. I tell all you young men here, keep your clothes on you. It is disgusting. Even think about putting your seed in somebody and you are not willing to die for them and to spend the rest of your life with them. And you young girls, if the man don't give you a job, a house, a ring, or something, and if you take off his clothes, call the police when he does that. And you solve that dilemma very quick. There's a naked boy in my house. How do you know? I got his clothes and I'm running. Police come in and say, boy, how'd you get out your clothes? Well, you know how it is. I let him get naked on me. Yeah, go ahead, Jethro. Yeah. And then take him and run out and call 911. There's a naked teenager in my house. Police come take him out and the ABC be flying over. There's the camera. Oh, wait a minute. And they'll have the falls down there, you know, when they're putting him in the squad car. But if you so love starves, ain't nothing like that going to happen. I know it's going to happen. What do I learn from this? We learn the difficulty leaves righteous persons alone when application is heeded. See, they all left one by one because when they came to themselves and said, my God, we can't get Christ. Isn't that something else? We can't get Jesus. We've tried our best shot and we keep losing. Somebody called me one day a couple weeks ago over the phone. Hello, son, such, and if you're in the room, because you won't present yourself to me, I ask you to. Hello, I said, hello. When is your Bible study? I told him. I said, but I won't be preaching or teaching, my associate pastor will. Well, I'm still coming out. I said, what church do you go to? Told me. And I said to myself, what does the person from that church want to come here for? And I warned the entire staff, don't get caught in the setup. Some sister come here looking good and fancy and everything and all this stuff I want to see. Hey. Just give her a handshake at a distance. Look in her eyeballs. Don't even look down near the bosom area. See, because a partner may be around the block trying to take a picture of you. Click! And now they'll be everywhere. Because see, some of these, I understand some of our more mature women are going to show some of you young women how to dress properly. Some of you don't know what needs to be covered up here, especially when you come to church. And don't know the length of your dress right, you're not supposed to be sitting on here with your thighs showing everywhere. Because this preacher sure don't want to see your ashy thighs at all. Sure don't. So some of the older sisters are going to come here and show you how to decently present yourselves when you come to the house of God. See, and if you're looking for a husband, I hope you never find a godly one dressing like a prostitute. Now that's where it is. So now you know ain't no woman going to trip me up. And some of you men that think I love men like that, you ain't going to trip me up neither. Some of you think I like money. Money don't work me either. Maybe a strawberry shortcake can get me to do anything. But some of Queen's cookies. And then I may bow to it. But now, but now that kind of stuff don't work with me. Because you know what? Your lives are more important than all that mess. Now, you got some men out there, some of them things that I mentioned, that's what they're going after today. And they will not preach like this because they got to keep you happy so you can keep that money coming in. Now, that's just what ministry's all about. Some of you don't like that. But you know what I want you to do? I want you to listen. I admonish each of you to take a Sunday a year to visit another church. Let me know the Sunday. Visit another church and go and talk with leadership. And then you come back here and you be the judge. Man, this is beautiful. We also conclude in verse 9b, we conclude that if the master did not respond in this way, the difficulty most likely would have persisted. If Jesus had not have done what he did, the difficulty would have hung around him. That's why he went back down. Some of you stand up and said, I'm because I'm us. Wait a minute. Only people in authority can act like that. Delegated authority. Jesus is God. He was trying to show those guys a lesson in life. And he showed me a greater one how to deal with difficulty. We realize that the Lord expects us to take these lessons and to apply them. Fifth and lastly, the conclusion of the matter are the results of winning while living under difficulty. Now you may say he didn't win. Yes, he did. He won, friends. Look at verse 10a. And straightening up. Oh, now he gets up again. Man, this up and down Savior. He's up one minute, he's down. Then he's up, then he's down. It all makes sense. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, woman, where are they? Oh, I love this. Because when he's down, he's waiting on them to rag on him, but they leave. When he's down, he's saying, hit me in the head with a brick now. Keep talking about my mama. Go ahead. Run me down. Do all this. And then when he straightens up, the only one that's standing there is the woman that the people wanted to condemn. And what Jesus did beautifully is he looked at her and said, where they at? Jesus now asked an interesting question. He is saying, woman, where's your difficulty? Oh, that is beautiful. He says, where's your difficulty? See, she was blessed to sit under him and to see how he dealt with life. And when she saw the way he dealt with life, when he gets up, he says, now to you, where's your difficulty? I read this, I was in my study, I just started to cry. I said, I never saw that. I never saw it. I've been a Christian for going on 30 years. I never saw that. He says, woman, where's your difficulty? Now, some of you may think that when Walter Martin died of a heart attack, that the guy down there with all the satellites could say, where's your difficulty? No, not like that. Not when life confronts an individual and they die, and you think that person's death is your difficulty gone. I don't mean it like that. See, you're just a heathen. Jesus didn't mean it like that. In verse 10b, he asks in a rhetorical sense, can you identify the difficulty? For he says, where are they at? Can you identify it? He knew that he alone was the solution for all human dilemma. That's why he asked her that. He said, where's the problem at? Church, this is what I want you to understand. Whatever you're going through right now, I don't, if it's financial, if it's relational, whatever it is, Jesus wants to say, where's your difficulty? Did you come to me right? Did you approach this Christianity right? If you do, where's your difficulty? If you have difficulty in your lives right now, you have not been approaching the situation the way that Jesus did. You better humble yourself. And I see something else in verse 11. The answer of this woman is all-inclusive in that she classifies the result of a person living in difficult times by her response. And she said, no one, Lord. No one, Lord. In other words, she says, my difficulty is gone. See, you thought that because them dudes was talking that she was going, no. She said, mine, I don't have any. She stated that there was no difficulty because you've taken care of the matter. Now, here's our problem in the church today. I'm not Jesus. God knows I know I'm not Jesus. I'm not trying to be Jesus. I don't want to be him. I cannot be him. I have tainted blood in my veins. My mother and father were sinners, all defiled. Jesus had no tainted blood in his body, so I'm not Jesus. But he does live in my heart and in my mind and in my soul. And he has called me over everyone in this room as a senior pastor of this church, and he has given me indelible gifts. And I will work through these gifts for the rest of my life. So when you say, but you're not Jesus, no, I'm not, but I'm infused to be the under-shepherd here. That is a caution. Because I can pray for you, but Jesus will say, they don't respect you. They don't even respect what I got you there for. I will bring dilemma in their lives. I'm cautioning you, church. And this is the last time I'm going to do it. It's the last time I'm going to do it because he got to work. She could not quite put her finger on the problem. It had vanished. What is the conclusion? Overcoming difficulties is only done one way. What is that, you might ask? Tell me the secret, John, of the successful life. What is the key of getting over all the obstacles? I got it in one statement. Overcoming is done effectively when we continue to remain focused on God's will for our lives. We do this by constantly recognizing something, that he knows our cares and that all he wants us to do is to keep his promises. Now, you can write down these three verses. I'm not going to read them because we spent a lot of time here and we got a lot of things to take care of. Write this down in your notes. James 1 and 12. James 1 and 12. And the second scripture that I want you to write in your notes is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. And then the last scripture that I want you to record is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Because when you read those three verses and put it all together, you should be willing to deal with the difficult times in your life. Now you may say, as I conclude, because we've got a lot of things to do, you put this message together because you're trying to get at me. Let me answer you. He put this message in my heart to give you because you needed it. And if you don't feel you need it, I got one question. What are you doing here? You have no business in this room. You have no business in this ministry. You need to leave and go get other kind of so-called messages. Because they got them out there today, friends, and they jumping right now. About this hour, they all jumping. Right, Linda? They jumping. They are jumping! Jumping and screaming. And they don't know what just took place. At least in this room, you've thought with me. Let's pray.